Steve James made his reputation with Hoop Dreams, a heartbreaking documentary film about two boys in the hood who dream of making it to the NBA. It became the highest-grossing documentary of all time and won several major prizes. Stevie was supposed to be a small movie. Steve James was going to reconnect with Stevie Fielding. 10 years before, he'd been Stevie's big brother, but things got complicated. Steve James talked with Ann Strainchamps about Stevie, the movie, and the man. He remembered the first time he went to see Stevie.
I walked into this classroom to meet him, and he was literally surrounded by filing cabinets. I couldn't even see him. That immediately clued me in that this was not going to be the experience that maybe I anticipated it would be.
We had a lot of intelligent people working on him over the years, trying to come up with something that would either motivate him or to help him control himself, and we never came up with it.
You know, I was his big brother for nearly 3 years before I left to move to Chicago to pursue a film career.
Were you relieved when it was time to get on with your life and leave Stevie behind?
I was. You know, I was. I mean, I know that I told him when I left that I was going to miss him and that I was going to stay in touch with him and that this didn't mean the end of our relationship. I know I said all those things. But then when I left, I absolutely left with a sense of relief that the duty of being a big brother every week had come to an end.
Why did you go back?
I didn't really have much reason to go back to Southern Illinois. But with the release of Hoop Dreams, suddenly there was, you know, invitations from the university. And so suddenly I found myself having a reason to go back down there, and my thoughts turned to Stevie. And suddenly now I didn't have a reason not to reconnect with him and find out what had happened to him in those 10 years. And I also felt some guilt, clearly. I mean, I felt like I hadn't followed through on my promise to him. But then I guess it just sort of struck me at a certain point before I actually made the trip that it would be interesting, because I'm a filmmaker, to sort of document this reunion. And the thinking was is that this would be a very small, modest endeavor. And so I called him back up and I said, you know, I'm going to be down in a couple of weeks. What if, this is a crazy idea, but what if I brought a camera?
What did he
and,
say?
You know, well, he was agreeable to it. I mean, I think that like a lot of people in those situations, he was flattered. And I think in Stevie's case, there was just an excitement about seeing me again.
What did you think when you first saw Stevie again?
Well, my first thought when I saw him was he really hasn't changed that much. But it didn't take long before I saw another side of Stevie peek through.
The scene in the film when you first walk up onto his porch and you give him a hug for the first time and the camera pulls back and stays with Stevie for a while, and you see that, you know, here's this young guy in his early 20s, and he's got a big pot belly, he's covered in tattoos, his teeth are broken. He just looks like somebody who's been through some pretty hard things. Did that shock you?
I don't know if it shocked me, because I, you know, having spent some time in Pomona before when I was his big brother, you know, it was not uncommon to see people with tattoos, and it's not a community where, you know, people go to the gym and buff their bodies. But, you know, I think that the fact that he had as many tattoos and the fact that he was as disheveled, you know, in appearance as he was, I'm sure it impacted me to some degree. But I think, you know, it really wasn't until he started talking about where he had been over the intervening 10 years, you know, about the failed, very brief marriage to a woman who was 12 years older than him, and about how angry he was about his mother, that it really dawned on me that things had been really tough on him.
One thing that doesn't appear to have changed is Stevie's still here with you.
Yeah. He gets down and out, no place else to go while he comes back to me.
On my first visit to Pomona in 1982, Verna sat me down and told me how she'd come to take Stevie in. When Stevie was just 6 months old, Verna's son Arville defied her wishes and married Stevie's mother, even though he wasn't the boy's father. One weekend, they left Stevie with Verna and her husband Roy when they went out of town. She told me, upon their return, Arville and Bernice made it clear that they didn't want Stevie back.
Just because he was illegitimate, she didn't want him.
It's just like whenever I was a little kid, there's one word I hate the most. It's your fault. It's your fault. That's all she ever told me.
And yet, I learned Mom makes regular trips to see Stevie.
Figure out why she's so consistently coming up here.
She can't say she loves me, because if she did, why did she put me through all the hell that she put me through? That's what I want to know. Why? Why did she come back 26 years later and wants to be a mother? To me, it's done too late. She should have thought about that years ago.
So it turned out, during those 10 years you were gone, he'd been in and out of jail.
He'd been not only in and out of jail, he'd been in and out of every foster home in southern Illinois.
By 1986, Stevie had become so uncontrollable that Bernice gave him over to the state for permanent placement in foster care. His own experiences of abuse, coupled with his impulsive acting out, wrote one psychologist at the time, could lead Stevie to sexually abusing young children whom he'd view as emotional peers. In 1988, after failed placements in every group home in southern Illinois, 17-year-old Stevie was committed to the Shoat Mental Hospital in Anna.
It took like 8 people to restrain me. And then when they strapped me down to a bed using cloth restraints, I just came out and I snapped them.
He continued to be physically aggressive, prompting extensive drug therapy.
And they're like, no more of this. We want him out of here and out of here now before he winds up hurting somebody else.
After you had been filming Stevie for a while, there was yet another bad turn in his life. He wound up accused of having sexually molested a niece, a cousin?
Yeah, a cousin.
What happened?
Well, I mean, this was an awful development. And I found myself facing that question of, if I'm going to make this film, what is going to be my involvement in Stevie's life? Am I going to stand dispassionately to the side and record what happens to him and his family? Or was I going to get involved in his life again, much more like a big brother would? And of course, both things happened. I mean, I made the film, but I also knew that I didn't want to just stand aside, that I definitely wanted to try to help in some way. And so that's why the film, I think, also took a serious turn, because it seemed like it was the only honest way to proceed with making a film like this.
You pretty much had no doubt that Stevie had committed this crime. Were you able to find him still likable?
You know, at first, I wasn't sure if I could like Stevie in the wake of all this, because, as you say, I really believed he was guilty. And it is such a hot-button issue for most people, especially if you have children, which I do. So I wasn't sure how to deal with him. I wanted him to admit his guilt and seek counseling and try and get better. And you see me throughout the film endeavoring to try and get him to make that choice, to no avail for the most part.
Well, I'll tell you the third time, I ain't talking to no shrink. I mean, I'm just not.
Even if it means going to prison?
I ain't going to prison either.
You got something else in mind?
I ain't saying.
Are you still in touch with Stevie today? He went to prison for the crime he committed.
Yes, I am in touch with him. I've visited him on occasion. He's called me when he was able to. But our primary mode of communication is letters. He's a terrific letter writer. It's like having him sit in front of you to read one of his letters. He's not a great speller. He never finished high school. But he is incredibly expressive. And it's a quality about him that, frankly, you know, gives me that glimmer of hope that he is someone that can somehow, some way, turn his life around.
When I first became a big brother, I wanted my efforts to pay off, for Stevie to become a better person and make me feel like one too. Believing I'd failed, I left here feeling I'd abandoned him, that I wasn't there for him. Seeing this film, Stevie may feel I've abandoned him all over again. I don't know if Stevie will ever turn his life around, but now I realize the best thing I can do is just try to be there for him anyway.
Stevie won the grand prize at the Amsterdam International Documentary Film Festival. It's also been screened at the Sundance and Toronto Film Festivals.